Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I don't know if this morning you've been following the Santa tracker on Google, but of course there's no point us following the Santa tracker because by the time we get back from church midnight, he's already turned up, hasn't he, children? Anyway, one of the great advantages, of course, of being in New Zealand is you have less time to wait for Christmas because it comes here first. It's kind of neat, really, isn't it? And I've been keeping up with friends from England and America on the internet and finding out what they've been doing. They've always been, you know, half a day or a whole day behind. And it was just last night as I was just preparing, a good friend of ours was recounting their nativity they just had on the Sunday. So I'm kind of losing track of the dateline at this point. It's getting very confusing. And I suppose somewhat complacently, they'd kind of left something till the very last minute for the nativity, you see, because with just 2 minutes to go, they thought, right, let's just go and get the baby Jesus. You see, the baby Jesus was one of the dolls that lived in the toy cupboard in the church. And so with 2 minutes to go, they think, right, we'll just go and get the baby Jesus, to discover that the cleaner had a clean out of all the dolls. And unfortunately, the baby Jesus had been sent away. Anyway, fortunately, there was a little girl at the service clutching onto her dolly, and she was more than happy for her dolly to take the starring role. Yet, for all we have our crib services and our nativities, the Gospels really aren't written to have us, as it were, cooing over the baby Jesus. A good friend of mine who's is at one of the big cathedrals in England has been posting photographs all over the internet of her baby who is going to be the baby Jesus, and he's really one of these cooing over children. But that really isn't the point of the gospel. The text of the familiar stories that we know so well from Matthew and Luke are really concerned with drawing us into it and then causing us to ask a question. As we read those stories of the shepherds and the angels, we're caused to ask this question: who is this child? Who is this child that causes the Emperor Caesar Augustus to have restless nights? Augustus, who was the one who was proclaiming the peace of Augustus. And yet he couldn't stay asleep at night because he was so concerned about how many people he had and how much tax he had to raise. Who is this child whose coming requires God's Spirit to move over the face of the deep as once of old he had, bringing life out of nothing, a baby from a virgin? Who is this child who causes the angelic host to be seen once more? Who is this child born in Bethlehem, the city of old King David, and yet going there finds the door of the inn slammed in his face? There is no kindly innkeeper in the narrative. Who is this child whom shepherds worship and the angels herald? Who is this child? And in a sense, there is little point in reading Luke and Matthew at Christmas, for they're telling the story of Jesus from its human beginnings, when this question has not yet begun to be answered. It is, if you like, the beginning of Jesus' human biography. And at the beginning, we cannot see the end. We cannot see the whole. Mary and Joseph are given, as it were, little clues. Mary is told by the angel, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. But it all lies in the future. He will. He will, he will. Faithful Israel will ponder all these things in her heart as the Christ child grows. But the answer still isn't given. Luke and Matthew do not tell us the answer. Who is this child? John, however, tells us the story of Christ not only from the end, but from the beginning, from before the beginning, and from beyond the end. John, as we hear at our annual carol service, unfolds the great mystery of the incarnation. And so that's why in the lectionary, it always says in the lectionary, every year it says, you must always read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. It doesn't matter what other readings you have. On Christmas Day, it says at some time on Christmas Day, you must always read the beginning of John's Gospel. And it's always struck me, it's been one of those that traditionally we've had at midnight. And I think it's just such a great shame. So I kind of moved the goalposts and had it this morning. That's why, as the people of God, as we gather to celebrate Christmas, we read John. For John reveals all the breadth, all the height, all the depth of the reality of this child. When we read John, we read the true, the fullest meaning of this birth. And it is so big, it is so vast, it's like going swimming in a vast ocean of meaning and truth. Listen to what John tells us about this child. This child is the eternal Word of God, who was in the beginning with God. This child is God's very truth, God's very life, God's very light. This child is the one through whom everything that has been made was made. This child is the means of life coming into the world, a life that gives light to all people. This child, this light, is overcome by nothing, and not even death can hold this child. John, of course, knows the nativity stories. Do you notice? There's a little hint. He knows there's no room for this child in the inn. He came to his own. He came to the very city of David, and his own knew him not. The world did not know him. Imperial Rome did not come to the manger to pay tribute, only to take it away, to extract it in the form of tax. But to all who received him, he gave power to become children of God. To all who received him, he gave power to become children of God. John is so careful here in setting out what the birth of this child means for us. He gave power to become children of God, children born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man. Children born not by biological process, not by human desire, but born of God. John too knows of the virgin birth. And so he points to the birth that this child heralds for us. This child, the baby Jesus, whose birth we focus on, as we truly turn our hearts and minds to him, becomes the source of our rebirth. Perhaps that's why we want to sentimentalize the story. As I said a few weeks ago, we don't want, do we, to drag in the evil Herod into our Christmas plays, however timely that might well seem, given all that's happened in the United States this past couple of weeks. We want to keep it safe. We want to keep it safe. And maybe it's because at its very heart, this story, it's this child opens the door to the most dramatic and therefore the most challenging possibility of all. A possibility that calls our own very life into question. A possibility of our own rebirth as God's children, born from above, born of the Holy Spirit, as that which was within Mary was also conceived of the Holy Spirit. This child, the one who fulfills the impossible possibility of the Lord spoken of through the prophet Ezekiel, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone, and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you, and make you follow my statutes, and be careful to observe my ordinances. As the virgin birth of Jesus heralds an impossible possibility, so too, perhaps even more so, it heralds the impossible possibility of the transformation of our hearts, that we might become like him, the one who is the firstborn. The birth of Jesus into our flesh opens the door to our birth into his life, this child. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory, glory as of the Father's only begotten, full of grace and truth. All through Advent, we've been considering how to be ready, how to prepare our hearts for this time, for this day. And yet, as we've discovered, aside from turning our hearts and minds towards him, there is nothing else that we can do. He is the one who will perform this transformation of our hearts when we turn our attention and our gaze towards him. And John points this out in that familiar verse that we know so well. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Literally, John uses an old Hebrew word for dwelt. He says he tabernacled among us. And that takes us in our imagination to the time when the people of God were in the wilderness with God and God's presence amongst them. And the tribes of Israel would camp, three to the north, three to the south, three to the east, and three to the west, and all turned and faced the center, where the tabernacle of God was, where the God of glory dwelt above the Ark of the Covenant, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire of night. John is saying, once more, he dwells amongst his people, that we might turn our hearts and minds to him and behold his glory, and so in contemplation of the one who is born to us, be changed ourselves from one degree of glory to another. I guess that once we've finished here and we've finished and we've come to the Lord's table and received his life in bread and wine, we're going to go out, and as only right and proper, we're going to celebrate even more with much food, I guess, and probably more. But I pray also we'll also take time to go swimming. All right? Now, that's a very dangerous thing to say in Dunedin, isn't it? And please, I don't want to see anything on the ODT about parishioners from St. John's being swept off to Fiji by a riptide. So let's make it perfectly clear. I'm not suggesting you put on your wetsuits and go down into the Southern Ocean. But if you want to, that's fine by me. But rather, just take a little time in this day and sit with those verses of St. John and swim deeply in the wonder of them and the wonder of who this child is. And so rejoice ever more deeply and truly in our celebration of his birth, that thus may our Christmas be truly merry, truly happy, and full of the joy and the light and the life of this child, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.